Our reading today from the New Testament is Matthew chapter 1, and I'll shorten the reading here as Joseph is given a message by the angel of the Lord to take Mary home as his wife because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And then we read in verse 21, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And then also we'll turn to the scripture for today, Romans chapter 1, 1 to 7, that we'll have as the basis for the sermon. Romans 1, 1 through 7 for our sermon scripture. Hear God's word. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets and the Holy Scriptures, regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and for his namesake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God, called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I invite you to turn back in the scriptures to Romans chapter 1. If you'd like to follow along and see, we're going to be dealing very specifically with these verses. And the outline is there if you want to follow it. And if you're ambitious, you can fill it out. We're going to have prayer. Lord God, we thank you that you have given us your word. You have not left us as orphans. You've not left us in ignorance, but you have communicated to your people. And we pray now that you would give us ears to hear, a teachable heart. We pray for the work of the Spirit in our lives. We ask God that the preaching would be faithful, pleasing to you, and that you would be our rock, you would be our redeemer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our reading today starts out, Paul, servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The word Paul here in the beginning, this is how in the ancient world, the letters would be started. Not like we do it, where we write the letter and then yours truly, sincerely, and put our name in so that you have to go to the end of the letter if you haven't seen it before in the return address or you don't know who it is, would have to go to the end of the letter. Well, in the ancient world, you start it with your name so someone would know right away who sent the letter. This is a more logical way of doing things, of course. And the word Paul would bring to mind a lot of things in the ancient world and this time in history. Paul was well known at this point, and he was someone very unique. He started out with a Jewish background, of course. His name formerly was Saul, Saul being a popular name after the first king of Israel. And he was from the city of Tarsus that had a well-known academic community there. He had a great education. And then later on, he went to Jerusalem and was educated under a famous teacher that is noted here in the Bible. And he was a raving persecutor of the church. He hated Christians. Because they were a threat to the Jewish system as he understood it. And when the Christian church took off, the man Saul was after them. And he put many Christians in jail. He had people that were killed. And he was going to Damascus to arrest Christians when Jesus arrested him on the Damascus Road with a blinding light. You can read about it in Acts chapter 9. And Jesus said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Because when he was persecuting the people of God, he was in fact persecuting Christ. And so Paul was confronted by Jesus, and his life changed. He was led blind into the city, and he sat there for 3 days in darkness, no doubt praying to God, and a believer was sent to pray for him, to baptize him, and when he was baptized, his eyesight returned. He was called by God in an amazing way. With his hostility, there was no human being that could have reached him. If you would have come to Paul and said, or Saul, and said, "I would like to share the gospel," you'd be put in prison, you'd be dead. But we find here that Jesus confronted him. Jesus shared the gospel with him and called him to be an apostle. So he introduces himself in this way: "Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God." When he became a believer, he changed his name from Saul to Paul. And the church didn't even want to receive him right away. They didn't want him to come to church because they were scared of him, and they ran away from him. But as time went on, and the apostles reached out to him, and the apostles confirmed that he was indeed a believer, that God had worked for him, that he was accepted. And the standard of an apostle was that an apostle was one who knew the Lord's ministry, had seen Jesus go to the cross, saw his resurrection. Well, the Apostle Paul hadn't been there for the mission of Jesus, his earthly ministry, but he was taught by Christ later as Jesus, following his resurrection, gave Paul his seminary training. This is spoken about as his time in Arabia in the New Testament. So Paul introduces himself. If somebody new would come to our church, we'd probably have an introduction. And he introduces himself as a slave, a servant of Christ Jesus. Actually, in many translations, a bondservant. Comes from the Greek word doulos, where the Bible is originally in the Greek language. And it actually is more like a slave than a servant. And it's not the slave in the sense of a slave in Egypt that we read about with the Ten Commandments, that God has brought us out of slavery, and that refers to the slavery of our sin. But we've been brought into a voluntary, lifelong service to Jesus. So we get to Romans chapter 6. We're not to be slaves to sin, but slaves to God. So in the introduction, he is the servant of Christ Jesus. He's called to be an apostle, a very unique role. And there are no apostles today. There are no current apostles that are alive today. We have Ephesians chapter 2, where Paul says that the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. And so we see the role here of the apostle was to bring forth the teaching of Jesus more extensively. And we have the apostles who are foundational to the church. We have the prophets who are before them. But Christ Jesus himself is the chief cornerstone. So if we get off the foundation, we're going to not be a church anymore. And we're to see ourselves, as Paul does here, as a servant of Christ. He will tell the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you're not your own, you were bought at a price, therefore honor God with your body. And so this is the gospel that he is to preach. He comes forth to share with the church at Rome. And he calls the gospel here, he's set apart for the gospel of God. So the gospel originates with God. And we have here, for people who love grammar, and I don't, I struggled with in the Greek class with this, but we have a genitive of possession here, where it's God's gospel. It doesn't come from man. So if you want a definition of the gospel, I would remind you of the Christmas story that you've heard many, many times, where the angel announces to the shepherd the good news of great joy. I have good news of great joy, which shall be for you and all people. And in the King James, it was, I bring you, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. We sang today about the glad tidings. It's the good news. I love to get good news from people, as I know you do also. And this is the greatest news ever, that God has sent his son for our forgiveness, to save us. This is what Matthew chapter 1 put forth today. You call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. This was the idea when you said Jesus, that God saves. He will save his people from their sins. And our sins are going to destroy us. Our sins are going to separate us from God. And he came to save us from our sins. And so Paul goes on to say, regarding his son, the gospel we promised beforehand through his prophets and the Holy Scriptures regarding his son. So the gospel is about the person and work of Jesus Christ. And the servant of God will preach good news to the poor. The good news is for people that are humble, the people in need. And this is what Jesus did in his lifetime. And that's great for us also. It's such good news. Isaiah, as he describes it here, it brings such great joy to his people. He compares it to a farmer who gets a wonderful harvest. And this happens from time to time. And that's a great feeling for a farmer to have this great harvest. And Isaiah says it's like winning a war when the soldiers come home, as they did in World War II, victorious, and they're done fighting, and they get rid of their clothing and their weaponry and so forth, and they go back to what they enjoyed before. That had to give them such joy. That's the kind of great joy that we have as we describe the gospel. And the central message of the Old Testament is the coming of Christ. And that's what we're going to look at in the nine lessons and carols. The first part, of course, being the promises in the prophets. Today we read of the promise of Emmanuel, that God with us, that's Jesus. At the end of Matthew's gospel, he said, go into all the world, bring the gospel, and I will be with you always. Today he's with us as we gather in his name. And so in the book of Galatians, Paul makes this very clear that this is God's gospel, and you don't mess with it. And so many churches today are messing with the gospel. They're changing the gospel. And Paul in Galatians chapter 1, he gets after the Galatian churches because they were getting confused and they were in danger of accepting a different gospel. And he said, that's no gospel at all. A different gospel is no gospel, but a perversion of the gospel. And he said, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. So if you have a gospel being preached that's different from the apostles, if the teaching is something different that you read in your Bible, Paul says this, he said, let that person be eternally condemned. In other words, let him go to hell. And that's quite a thought here. We cannot change the gospel. It is God's gospel. And so as Paul starts out that way, this is his calling, set apart for the gospel. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who was to his human nature was a descendant of David, and through the spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. So the gospel proclaims both the humanity and deity of Christ. He's human and he's divine. He's the one who came down from heaven, as who was very God of very God and became man. And so Paul's letter to the Romans is going to quote the Old Testament 57 times, more than any other book in the New Testament. And what a great exposition of the gospel. I think about any question you have concerning the gospel, if you would read through the book of Romans, and you'd be teachable as you read it, and not push back against it, I think every question you could come up with regarding the gospel would be answered in this great letter to the church at Rome. And this was a very important book that brought about the conversion of famous church leaders such as St. Augustine in the 4th century and Martin Luther, who read The Just Shall Live by Faith, which really is at the heart of the book of Romans. And there were other people also that read Romans and became converted. So I would commend to you becoming familiar with this book. God promised David in 2 Samuel 7 that one of his descendants would always be on his throne. And so we see this, that regarding his human nature, he was a descendant of David. And we see this through his mother, Mary. And so this is God's promise coming to pass, that one of David's descendants would be on his throne. And so we see the Messiah must be human. And the Messiah would come to rule. In Psalm chapter 2, in verse 3 here, who was going to be the king. And we see Christ's ministry and work then declared that he is divine, that he is God, where he is raised from the dead. Everything he said and did is confirmed by his resurrection, declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. And so he claimed to be the Son of God. And once at the end of his ministry, he's put under oath. Just like if you go to the courtroom, if that's ever happened to you, and you're asked, well, are you going to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth? And you say, I will. Well, this happened to Jesus in the courtroom, and he was asked, are you the Son of God? And he said, yes. And someday you'll see the Son, God's Son, coming on the clouds of heaven. Well, that was enough. They called for his death at that point. He claimed to be the Son of God, and his resurrection, Jesus' resurrection from the dead, proclaimed his divinity. He proved that he was the Son of God, that death could not keep him. And so Paul starts out this way as he writes to Rome. You know, this is his business. He's a servant of God. He's the apostle. This is his gospel. It's about Jesus, and Jesus who is God and one who is also man. And then he gets into what comes of it here for the people. Through him and for his namesake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. So the gospel, as you hear it, receive it, it calls us to obedience, to obey God. Now, it's not a legalistic obedience. but an obedience that comes from faith. It's an obedience that comes from your response to Christ. And so, for instance, your neighbor's property is available for you to steal. Are you going to do it? Well, no, you're not going to do it. You don't want to do it because you want to be obedient to the Lord. And this is the idea here. And Paul said, we receive grace. So if you ever want to know a good definition of grace, if you use a letter memory device, you go through each letter of the word grace, and you start with God, and you go to the R, God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches, in other words, through the cross. Grace means you receive what you don't deserve. Martin Luther said, grace bestows remission of sins. And so it comes with the idea that your sins are forgiven. And how is that possible? It's through the cross of Christ. And so the carols of Christmas, so many of them are so rich in theology and so helpful to us. And it's a great blessing of the Christian church that we have these statements of faith that we can sing that come to us from hundreds of years past. Paul talks about the peace that comes through God's salvation. And salvation blesses every Christian with God's peace. Martin Luther says it removes the torment of conscience. And just think with the Apostle Paul, how much bad memory he had of his own sins, of the persecution that he had in his past. Paul will say at one point, this is a trustworthy saying of whom I am, this is a trustworthy saying of worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners of whom I am the worst. And Paul was forgiven by God. He talks about being justified by faith through the cross. This is how our conscience is cleared up. He addresses now in verses 6 and 7, and you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone who believes in Jesus is called to be a saint. A saint, which means that you're set apart to God. So we have this famous saying, and what did Rome do as the Romans? And Paul is saying, no, we're not going to do that. Culture is not the standard, in other words. And I'm afraid people look at our culture today and they see stuff going on and they think that's normal. They think the Christian community should act the same way. And that's just not right. Our standard is not the culture, and our standard is not, I don't see what's wrong with that. That's not a standard either. What's the standard? The standard is what we read in the gospel, what the Lord requires of us, how we need to live as his servant. And so Paul focuses on the behavior of those who are loved by God. If God has loved you through Christ, that needs to change. That means your behavior. Let's think about your home. Your home, how you treat people in your home, would be a whole different experience than if you would visit the home of an unbeliever because you belong to Jesus Christ. You're called to do that in verse 6. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. That's your calling. And it's your calling to be a saint set apart to God. And so this is part of the gospel here, which is the power of God for salvation of all believers in verse 16. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. That's where God's power is to save lives. And so If you review the idea in verse 5 here, through him and for his namesake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from all among all the Gentiles, in other words, all the nations, including where we live, to the obedience that comes from faith. So where does obedience come from? Well, it shouldn't come from this, oh, I have to, you know, that's a requirement of me. But it comes from faith. Because you believe in Jesus, because you are willing to trust him, even though sin would be a shortcut, sin would maybe be a pleasure for a season, you are going to be obedient to God because of your faith, because you believe him. The idea is here, you need to believe God. You can't be doubting like Ahaz here in the Old Testament reading today. You have to believe in God. And so with the virgin birth, the announcement to Mary, is nothing's impossible with God. And so you need to believe that when it comes to Jesus. Nothing is impossible with God. And that's the gospel. And so we must be faithful to this gospel because it's God's gospel. We're not allowed to change it, add to, subtract from. You need to leave it as it is. It's perfect. And it's about Jesus. And it's about us who are called to obedience to serve him. If without this gospel, we have no purpose as a church. And the good news of God is all about the person and work of Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that your word is clear. And we thank you today that your word brings grace and joy and peace. And we need that so much for our lives. We pray, God, that these gifts would, in fact, be ours. And we ask, Lord, today that you would make us more obedient to you, that we would love to serve you as your great apostle Paul. In Jesus' name, amen.